against the United States. Mr. Barnard.
Good morning, Your Honors. At this trial, defense counsel, in cross-examination of a witness named John Fox, introduced and had admitted two books, Defendant's Exhibits 15 and 16, which were the Bible, so to speak, of the defendant's church. In that cross-examination, he then read from and asked the witness questions about these books, in particular this one, which is entitled The White Man's Bible. Included in his questions, well, let me go back for a moment, so that not only did he ask questions about wording in this book, but he had introduced them, and they then went back to the jury, and the jury had access to the books. He specifically referred to chapter 29 in the White Man's Bible and talked about the title, Who Needs Niggers, or Elimination of the Black Plague, in which there are words such as, Today's Black Plague is spelled niggers. The niggers are the foremost among our deadly enemies, with Jews the top priority, calling them mud races. The black niggers of Africa are undoubtedly at the lowest scale of the ladder, dubiously called the human race. We of the Church of the Creator disclaim any common racial denominator with the niggers, the same we do regarding monkeys. We regard them as subhuman or humanoid and recognize them as being closer to the animal kingdom than any species of humanity as exemplified by the white race. And there's more. Counsel used this in his cross-examination of John Fox, and he talked about this in the first 20 pages or so of approximately 200 pages of cross-examination of Mr. Fox. The government has now argued, and the trial court has also talked about how this must not have been prejudicial, or it would suggest that this was not prejudicial because, in fact, John Fox and the allegation he made, which was that Matthew Hale had solicited him on December 4th to kill Judge Lefkoe, and the jury acquitted Mr. Hale of that charge. I disagree with what the district court found, because this part of the cross-examination had nothing to do with discrediting the allegations of Mr. Fox. What counsel did do during the last 140, 150 or so pages was he then attacked John Fox with regard to all of the lies that he had said, the amazing claims that he had said that on numerous occasions charges against him were trumped up by the police, and repeatedly did impeach John Fox and his credibility. And I submit to the court that's the reason that Mr. Hale was acquitted. And the presentation of and the admission of these two books into evidence, these two books, Exhibits 15 and 16, was irrelevant to that, however, was highly, highly prejudicial to Matthew Hale, who was the leader of the church of whom these Bibles were related and the basis for the church, especially when one considers that in this case, in the jury selection, and then sitting on the jury, were five African Americans. There were only five African Americans possible, and they all were sat upon the jury. And there was a sixth person, a Mark Hoffman, who was a white Caucasian person, but who had an African-American partner.
But would that be a grounds for striking someone?
I'm sorry.
Wouldn't that be a Batson problem, start striking people because of their race?
I've struggled with the issue, and I understand what the court and what the district court and the government has argued that that's a Batson problem. It is, on its face, certainly appears to be a Batson problem, and yet in the...
Are you familiar with Winston against Boatwright?
I don't know that off the top.
We considered this question in Winston, and we held that, a defense attorney is forbidden to use race in making a peremptory challenge, and B, any defense attorney who does use race in making a peremptory challenge violates the Sixth Amendment and engages in ineffective assistance. So you're saying that this lawyer violated the Sixth Amendment by not doing something that, according to Winston, would violate the Sixth Amendment if done. Isn't that a little problem?
Well it's a problem, and yet the distinction, at least between the Batson cases of which I am familiar, is that...
Winston is a Batson case.
And the problem and the difference that I'm seeing is that the reason for the excusing of the juries is not based on some stereotype of the African Americans being improper or biased or the like because of their race. The argument here, and I understand that it's a difficult argument, but something seems wrong in that the reason for having it a problem with African Americans on was Mr. Hayes.
Because a person's client hates blacks, that entitles him to engage in peremptory challenges that are otherwise forbidden.
See
the problem.
I see the problem, but I also see the other problem, which is that it's not just a person who hates blacks, but a person who, with evidence that the defense attorney himself presented about him calling them niggers, calling them...
Yes, but you see what the problem is. What you're saying is that if you abuse black people, it entitles you to a white jury. You abuse white people, entitles you to a black jury. You abuse Jews, entitles you to a Gentile jury. Where does it stop?
Well, and that really brings it to another part of the argument, which would be a somewhat of a different argument on the ineffective assistance of counsel, that in talking to and asking these veneer persons about whether or not race would be an issue to them, the court basically asked the generic types of questions that are used and asked when a court is...
Well, what do you want the judge to say? You want the judge to say to a black person, you know, you're black, and this guy abuses blacks, and you must really dislike someone who's bigoted like this. So are you sure you can sit on the jury?
No,
is that what you want?
No. What I wanted, or what I want, and would have wanted, would have been the judge saying something to Mr. Phillips or whomever. Would the fact that this defendant calls you niggers and calls for the extermination of your race, would that be something that might make you feel uncomfortable unable to sit in fair judgment on this case? Those are the kinds of questions that weren't asked. Those are the kinds of questions I suggest could have then shown whether or not these individual African Americans would have not been appropriate.
Of course,
for
what a lawyer would worry about would be that the black person would say, "No, I can make a fair judgment." But meanwhile, by asking him these things, the lawyer has poisoned the well, right?
But
he's told these black people, "Well, you're going to be passing judgment on someone who wants you exterminated."
I understand, but at trial the lawyer poisoned the well, and furthermore, the lawyer, even if the lawyer hadn't put in the white man's Bible with those terms and cross-examined Mr. Fox about those terms, the well was still going to be poisoned with other things that Mr. Hale had said. So, in fact, to a certain extent, instead of poisoning the well, it may, first of all, show if a African American would say, yes, that would bother me, it could eliminate that person. But second of all, it could cause those people...
I understand, yes, that would bother me. Yeah, it would bother. The fact that you're bothered by something doesn't mean you can't be an impartial juror. If you're a juror in a horrible murder case, you would certainly be bothered by the murder.
And I chose wrong. Very weak and not really the words I meant.
What this has to do with black members of the Vanir. Many white members of the Vanir may detest racists, too.
Exactly. And that's why I said my choice of the words bother really was not what I meant or was not what I was talking about. It's whether or not, based upon these kinds of, or this language, whether or not you could be still fair and unbiased with regard to this defendant. And if nothing else, maybe it would cause some of those people who... are going to hear this come out at trial, be a little bit hardened to it when it does come out at trial, and be reminded that they're supposed to be fair. In this case, well, numbers of things that were asked of the jury, in particular, in approximately 40% of the jury selection, Mr. Hale was absent from that portion of the jury selection when they were specifically addressing publicity and things that the various Venner persons had read or heard. And because he was absent from that 40% or approximately 40% of the voir dire, he did not hear people like African-American...
counsel that he knew he was absent.
He knew he was
sitting in court while things were happening in chambers, right?
He was sitting in the big courtroom while things were happening in the small room.
He knew he was not there.
He obviously knew.
That leads the government to argue that there has been a procedural default, not simply that there was a default by not raising this issue on appeal, but there was a default by not raising this issue to the district judge. Now, how can that default be excused?
Well, one of the reasons was that it wasn't raised on appeal because he didn't have the record at that point.
All he had to do was order it.
That may be true, that all he had to do was order it, but he had that was he was under the impression that it was sealed and that he was not able to have it.
Under the impression? How did he get that impression? Did the judge say anything?
The judge had not, but his standby counsel who got fired had told him that.
That might be an argument. There's no such thing as ineffective assistance of standby counsel, but
right.
No.
Anyway, under the impression, self-generated error, as Ferretta said, one of the things that happens when you choose to be your own lawyer is you can't complain about ineffective assistance.
Correct, and we haven't.
But in any event, I don't understand your answer to my main question. If your excuse for the default is lack of the transcript, then the next question is, could he have ordered the transcript? Did anything prevent him or his appellate lawyer from ordering the transcript?
Other than what I've already said to
other
the court,
than some
no.
Self-generated delusion.
Wasn't he pro se on appeal?
Beg your pardon?
Wasn't he pro se
yes,
on appeal?
Yes, he was pro se on the appeal.
So he was in charge of what got ordered, what didn't get ordered, right?
He was. But there is another issue, which is that he could not have brought this claim on appeal because it needed information and evidence that was outside of the record. And in particular, the necessary evidence that wasn't present with the record below was his claim and which is set forth in his declaration that he never consented to or agreed to be absent from the voir dire, that it was something that his attorney did without his consent, and furthermore that consent was never
that simply led to my question, why didn't he complain to the judge? He complained to the judge about an awful lot of other things.
Well, in particular, he complained to the judge that he didn't have enough extra peremptory challenges to potentially use on some of the African Americans.
Since he knew he wasn't there while proceedings were occurring, all he had to do to preserve his point was object, was complain in some way. Right? The way to solve a procedural problem is to complain on the spot, not to sit silent, ignore it on appeal, and then raise it under 2255.
The part of the problem was that when this began, he certainly had no idea that this was going to be an extensive period of the trial. And so he was sitting in the courtroom while the court and the judge and counsel were in chambers. However,
He was seated with the other the veneer members, right, and watched them go out one by one into the judge's chambers.
Yes, but the judge wasn't present there for him to complain about. But I will say to the court, it did go over to a second day, and so therefore there would have been an opportunity for him.
And he complained about the number of peremptory strikes. He wanted more.
Later. That's correct.
Just ask you a very brief question, although your time has expired. Would it have been proper for the lawyer to say to the judge during the voir dire, I'm very concerned about, possible black or Jewish jurors, and I want to ask them these questions and read them this stuff. And, of course, there are black jurors. I can see that. Would you ask the veneer whether there are any Jews among them? Would that be a proper question?
Yeah, I believe that would be a proper question, only to then have further questioning of the individuals. And I think that it could have been asked to have been done much like the publicity part was done in chambers with Mr. Hale present to hear the answers.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Bernard. Mr. Bindi.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Beginning with the issue regarding the use of the church Bibles on cross-examination of John Fox, this was not a seat-of-the-pants sort of decision by counsel. It was a considered strategic move, which can almost never support a claim of ineffective assistance of counsel on deficient performance grounds. And second, I would say that the jury did not learn anything from those books that they did not know from other evidence. For instance, there was the evidence of what the petitioner said during the eulogy he gave for Benjamin Smith following the shooting spree that Smith went on, which ended with his suicide. So there was enough evidence for the jury to know what sort of beliefs the petitioner held. The books did not.
What do you think was the strategic motive for reading this stuff on cross-examination?
I can't say. I'm not sure what it was, but it was not impromptu. And so I would say there that this does not support a claim of deficient performance on the part of trial counsel. Turning to the issue which was singled out, I think, in the granting of the certificate of appealability, the defendant's absence during the voir dire of the jurors in camera in chambers was consented to. The district court made a finding that the petitioner personally and voluntarily consented to the procedure that was taking place. He denies that in his declaration in support of the 2255, but this comes too late, we think. There's not only waiver, there's procedural default. And the declaration is actually contradicted by the record, because the issue came up between trial counsel and the district court, and trial counsel said that he had discussed the situation with his client and that he had told his client he didn't need to be there. So, you know, the issue was on the table, and it was never brought to the district court's attention that the petitioner objected to this procedure. Unless the court has any questions, I would be prepared to submit the case on this argument and on the briefs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bernard, your time has expired, but just in case, we'll give you 1 minute for rebuttal. Not that there's that much to rebut.
The one thing I wanted to rebut and talk about was counsel said that the jury didn't learn anything new by the Bible, by the presentation of the information in the Bible. The jury had then, because of counsel's actions, that Bible in the jury room with them, staring at them, and the words as from that there that they could have looked at. That was substantially more significant and more than they had otherwise, and they didn't have the repeated use of the word nigger from the record.
Is it your view that if the defense counsel had not mentioned the Bible or questioned it, read from it, it wouldn't have been admitted? It wouldn't have been admitted. The government wouldn't have used it.
I do not believe that the Bible itself would have been admitted. I believe that there may have been some reference to the Bible and some things possibly done to present to the jury, but I do not believe it would have been admitted. And then, without it being admitted, I don't believe that the government could have argued the terrorism chapter in that Bible also to suggest the intent and proving Mr. Hale's intent to use violence and terrorism.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. Mr. Barnard, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case and your assistance to the court as well as to your client.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
The case is taken under advisement.